Hi, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 27th of November, and only a couple days left in November. We haven't had our open line yet, so we thought we would do that at this very moment. It's a chance for you to call in with your suggestions for programs. If you've read a terrific book, probably nonfiction, we tend to do those kinds of books. If you have found some angle of the political race that we have not covered, which may be difficult, feel free to call in on that. Issues that are important to you, people who you've heard speak and you think would be wonderful guests, we certainly welcome your phone calls. And we follow through. You're a smart, engaged audience. And we follow through, actually, on quite a few of the calls and ideas that we get during these monthly open lines. So the number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee line is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. John Treader is answering phones, been our volunteer for a long time now, so chat with him for a moment and he'll get you on hold, and we'll be with you on the air very shortly. And our lines are all filled right now, which is always a good sign. So just keep trying, and you'll get through eventually. We start our calls with John from Madison. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, you know, I'm hearing a lot of stuff about this upcoming election that really isn't too pertinent. In other words, exploring how many dollars these people generate for their campaigns tells me only that they figure that money equates to successful propaganda, and the public is going to respond to these half-minute and shorter segments that really tell us nothing. So what I would like to have is some professional, some professor, doesn't matter who it is, as long as they're honest, tell us what the top presidential candidates, say three in the both parties, feel about signing statements, extraordinary rendition, habeas corpus, using military power for stealing another country's resources, perpetuation of the military-industrial complex, being able to designate any group as a terrorist group and denying them the rights that we accord to anybody else in this country. There's all sorts of things that are absolutely not being discussed. Everybody wants to go with the superficial nonsense, and I think we need to get beyond that. The other thing I'm very much interested in is this upcoming Israeli-Palestinian conference in Annapolis, Maryland. And the thing I would like to hear John Pilger, who has written Freedom Next Time, discuss this, because how can you have any kind of negotiation conference that doesn't involve Hamas? I mean, that is the group that the Palestinian people has designated as their spokesman, not Abbas and Fatah. It's Hamas. Hamas is not going to be there. At the same time, what is the U.S. doing sponsoring this when we're attempting to consolidate our hold of the oil in Iraq? At the same time, the Israelis are trying to consolidate their war gains on the West Side. You know, the West Bank. Mm-hmm. To me, this is doomed to futility. I can't understand for the life of me while they're having this. I really think that the American people need to understand the depth of what's going on in Israel and Palestine.
All right. We're going to be talking about that conference tomorrow at 9, John. I don't think we have the guest that you recommended, but we'll look at that guest for a future show. Thanks for your call. Joan is next from Clear Lake. Hi, Joan.
Well, hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Joan.
I think you're a wonderful interviewer.
Thank you.
And my suggestion is Juan Gonzalez. I know you've had Amy Goodman on, but I'd like to know more about him. I know he works for the New York Daily News. Just him and his life and what he does. And I think he's a very gentle yet good interviewer. He seems kind of shy.
Okay.
And also, my deep sympathy for you.
Oh, thank you, Joan. It's a hard one.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay. Thanks so much for your call.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Bye. Allison from Berlin. Hi, Allison.
Hello. I recently read a book. It's called Don't Eat This Book. It's I believe the first name is Matthew, but the last name is Spurlock. That's the man who did the documentary Supersize Me.
Okay.
He wrote the book after the documentary, and he researches obesity in the U.S., specifically in regards to children.
Okay.
And goes into how marketing is directed towards children and the populace in general, and how it affects people's choices and how they try to make food seem healthy even if it's not.
Okay.
And then it ends with how schools can change their nutrition programs, with examples of schools that have changed their programs and resources, you know, internet links, that sort of thing, and people that you can contact in order to change the school nutrition. Because they found the schools that did change, that the children's behavior, particularly after lunches, dramatically increased, or improved, I should say.
Who's the author, Allison?
The last name is Spurlock, S-P-U-R-L-O-C-K.
Okay. We'll check and see if anybody's had the guest on, but it's right up our alley, so.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks, Allison.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Couple lines open, 800-486-8655, 227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee. Heather from Lancaster. Hi.
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 I'm actually a veterinarian, and I was interested in seeing somebody talk about the discontinuation of horse slaughter in the United States. What's happened is the federal government is no longer inspecting slaughter facilities. And subsequently you'll be seeing, there was actually an article not too long ago about people in Kentucky, since they can't find a market for their horses, they take them out and dump them in the countryside.
Oh, my.
And so these horses are kind of loose running around on the roads and causing potential hazards. And I think that people don't understand the ramifications of what this is doing to the horses and how this is going to affect our horses.
Where was the article, Heather? Do you remember?
I can't remember where I saw that. If it was on the internet, it might have been one of those internet blogs I was on. I just remember seeing a little blurb about how these, you know, a lot of people take out dogs and cats and will just let them go on the road.
Right.
If they, you know, can't finance them or find a place to find a home for them. And so now with these horses, and they're actually trying to, a lot of the horses in Kentucky have tattoos. So they try and burn or damage the tattoos on the horse before they let it go because they don't want it to be traced back to them. So these animals are being found roaming the countryside.
Okay. If you remember where the article was, send me a little email, okay?
Or Rhonda. Good.
Thank you, Heather.
Yep, thanks.
Bye. Tom is next. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Tom.
Is what I'd like to hear something covered regarding politicians in Alaska and oil men paying them off. It was just on Now on Friday night. But I'd like to also understand more why that isn't being covered in the national news. Somebody who you could contact would probably be one of the reporters for the Anchorage News up in Alaska, who's been covering it, because it's been big news up there, but from a national point of view, it hasn't been big news.
No, it hasn't.
And there's a lot of good old boys politics going on.
Okay.
And the FBI has investigated the whole thing and has got, I don't know when they've convicted two guys so far, and the third one's to trial right now.
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard either. I watch Now every Friday night.
And, uh-huh.
The friend Caccio always has good coverage on stuff like that you don't hear on the normal news.
Okay, thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Okay, goodbye.
Hi.
Frank from Madison, hi.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank.
Please take care.
I'm trying.
I have one suggestion and three topics and potentially three guests.
Okay.
But the suggestion is that it would really help clarity of thought and argument on your program to discuss three documents. The first is the Magna Carta. The United States currently does not have full charter rights under the current administration. So find someone who will explain charter rights and the circumstances in which they were mandated in England. The second topic and document is have someone in modern English clearly explicate what the grievances against George III were in the Declaration of Independence. And then finally, have someone clearly delineate what the Constitution says, you know, in terms of American civil rights and the prerequisites for impeachment. Look at the impeachment clause of the Constitution. Now, we are in an extremely dangerous situation because the current administration has set precedents that make the executive supreme in this country. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
Bye.
Okay, goodbye. Sherry is next from Green Bay. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Sorry, mine isn't anything that political. It's more just down to earth. I have want to send kudos out to Dr. Steve Kagan from the 8th District Congress. He came to my house one day doing door-to-door visits. They actually called before they came, which I thought was a very nice courtesy. But he came to visit people in my neighborhood asking about their concerns, you know, the PR stuff.
Sure.
But when he came, I was very, very ill.
Mm.
And he asked me, you know, what was wrong with me. And I said, you know, I'm waiting for a procedure next week to help fix my back. And he asked me what it was, and I told him, and he gave me some advice. And I'm like, well, how did you know? He goes, well, funny enough, remember, I am a doctor. And I'm like, well, duh, you know.
Right.
He is a doctor. And his suggestions worked marvelously. And I received two letters from him since then. And I thought that was very nice of him, not only to remember me, but that, you know, he would give a suggestion that would help me in the interim.
Mm-hmm.
Until my procedure. And, you know, not many people do that because they've got people waiting, you know.
Right.
I live in Ashwaubenon, and there's, you know, how many people to visit in my neighborhood. It was uh-huh. hot. And, you know, that's pretty nice. Whether he, you know, does a, you know, can be a schmuck some days or be a great guy other days. What he did for me that day was very, very nice.
It sure was. Generous. So do you think he'd be a good guest? Is that?
I'm sorry?
Do you think he would be a good guest?
I think he would be a good guest.
All right.
You know, from not only a doctor point of view, but, you know, he did have the courtesy enough to say if I had any concerns, which I do, you know, that here's my email address, here's an 800 number that might make it a little easier to get a hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he's that open to one person, maybe he might be that open to everybody else.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Okay. Goodbye. Lloyd is next from Oshkosh. Hi, Lloyd.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Lloyd.
I am suggesting a subject for discussion on NPR. The issue of Annette Ziegler that's currently before the Supreme Court seems to me to be such a critical issue that it needs editorials and state newspapers and discussion on stations such as yours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very concerned that there was a three-judge appellate court that heard her case, and their recommendation was if even a slap on the wrist, that would be terming it too strong.
Mm-hmm.
The issue comes down to what type of person do we need to have on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, and it shouldn't just be someone who meets minimal requirements and can justify judicial misconduct by waving it away and calling it insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to raise some public awareness about the issue.
Okay, Lloyd. We haven't talked about that issue, and it would be a good one for us.
It's current.
Sure it is.
And it's critical.
Yes. Thank you, Lloyd.
All right. You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Goodbye. Mike from Oshkosh. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Mike.
A couple things I would like to reiterate. Your very first caller, John's concerns that there's so much fluff going on the media. We're not really looking at the things that are somewhat buried. A particular point that I had, if you could find someone to go into detail on the Bush family's investments in South America. I believe they purchased close to 100,000 acres in Paraguay. And this happened shortly after the government there okayed a resolution to not hold people, and by people I believe this is the president, his family, and U.S. troops responsible for actions in the Middle East. And this is another thing that I think some people need to spend a little more time educating themselves on some of these hidden things. I was also slightly, I hate to say it, but slightly disappointed that you hadn't heard about this corruption thing up in Alaska already, because that's been around for a while already.
No, you can't hear about everything, you know?
If I can philosophize for just one moment, once in a while I get a little irritated with people that are expounding about all the great things about reading all the time. Well, they're reading, in so many cases, fiction. They need to spend a little more time reading documentaries and news instead of fiction. So there's my piece for today. Thanks for listening.
Not sure what you're talking about. I wish I had time to read fiction. Maybe all of you know about the politicians in Alaska. I've been off in another world for the last few months, so forgive me if I don't know about it, but we will check into the story, okay? Nick is next, or Buck is next from Madison. Hi, Buck.
Madam, I want to talk about mustard oil in India and why you should pay attention to it.
Oh, no. Another story I don't know anything about. I'm feeling stupid today. Go ahead, Buck.
All right. Northern India and Nepal cooks with mustard oil, right?
Yeah.
And the Indian government has passed a law saying it is illegal, supposedly because it's unhealthy, right? They've been cooking with it for thousands of years. And it's very possible this is because Cargill and all these other multinationals can't use regenerated, genetically modified soy oil in Europe. So they're looking for a new market, and they bought off the Indian government. This is bad news. So I know this is not your continent, but I... Vandana Shiva, S-H-I-V-A.
Okay.
And anybody can get this, right? And it's very disturbing. We should not hurt India.
All right, Buck. There's a topic that nobody else would do that we may do, Buck.
You'll be the first ones, right? Once again, ahead of the New York Times.
Once again. Thanks, Buck.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Okay, let's go next to Dan. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, here in southwest Wisconsin, we're having quite a bit of controversy involving the livestock siting bill that was passed about 3 years ago, and it governs CAFOs, confined animal feeding operations.
Mm-hmm.
And the law was passed, I'm sure, with all the proper procedures for hearings and so forth, but... I guess I'd like a guest who could explain that whole process of how laws are passed, because here in rural Wisconsin, we weren't given any more notice about this bill than somebody in Milwaukee. And they're not going to plot all of a sudden. They're not going to find 3,000 hogs within a couple hundred yards of their house in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I could.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I would like a explanation of how this works a little bit. Find a good legislative expert, and possibly somebody who has some suggestions that would, you know, when a law is going to affect certain people, those people should maybe get a little more notification what's going on.
Okay, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for your call.
Bye-bye.
More phone calls in a moment. It's our open line for the month of November, and here is how you reach us. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. John Treader answering phone calls for you this morning. Say hi, and he'll get you on hold, and we'll be with you on the air in a minute. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. coming up the second hour of our program today. I think we'll have a great discussion about this. We'll talk with the author of Children at Play, An American History. Our guest is a professor of American history at Brown University and has written a number of other very intriguing books. He was a worker when he was a kid. He also played with three other boys in an urban neighborhood, and he was working actually in a toy distribution company. So his fascination with the social history of ordinary people, his recollections of playing with his friends, made him write a history of children's play in America. So that's coming up. And he has a lot to say about play now. Our computer games actually play. Our video games actually play. Were things better back in the old days? All right, let's go back to phone calls. Willie from Madison, hi.
Hi. Well, I certainly can't wait to hear that program about the mustard oil stuff.
Yeah. I think it sounds real interesting.
Yeah, he's got a real point about the, you know, the way Europe is blocking some of these companies that have so much political power here.
Yeah.
Okay, two items. A previous caller said, what about the Bush property in Paraguay?
Yeah.
Okay, you might ask that same guest if you filed a good expert about it. What about the Bush property in China? I'm sure it had nothing to do with the fact that G.H.W. Bush was the first ambassador to People's China years back. But did you know that the person who owns the most U.S. owned production facilities in China is none other than old George Bush's brother Prescott, and the other two who own a lot of that property are Sun Myung Moon and Bush's younger brother, Jonathan Bush. But for the first thing that I originally called for, the Bush boy is holding this bogus, phony Middle East conference right now where he doesn't have the people who were elected by the Palestinians and some of the other powerful groups. He only has the ones that might agree with him in some ways. I would suggest in talking about this that you get an expert who has a great deal of power able to talk about this that seems to have been off your guest list around public radio for the last 8 or 10 years, and that would be Norman Finkelstein.
Okay.
He has a website. Just Google the name. It's spelled Finkelstein.
All righty.
Oh, but you probably knew that.
I thought I knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think he should be listened to. Obviously, most people don't agree with him, and my feeling is that the preference at most places when they talk to somebody about Middle East issues, if somebody presents something other than the straight Israeli government line, he's got to have an Arabic name so that Americans will think it's just another crazy Arab ranting about this. And Finkelstein has a very, very educated and extremely well-documented viewpoint on the whole thing.
Well, you know, when you do the issue, you got to have a lot of viewpoints. So I'm thinking that, you know,
I think
we ought to have our own little panel here.
I haven't heard very often. Here,
right.
You know, we'll hear a viewpoint that will support Abu Mazen, who is no longer, you know, his party was defeated in recent elections. Yet, of course, he's the one that owes something to the Bushes, so they're going to have him on.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to talk to him a lot, and I think we should talk to people who could more accurately reflect the history of the area and the problems as they exist.
Thanks, Willie.
Thank you.
Yep, goodbye. Bonnie is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a topic that I know you know something about this time, and that is the issues of end-of-life decisions. And I think a lot of people just wait way too long until after it's way too late to be making those types of decisions. They don't think and plan beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I think we plan more for our shopping trips than we do for what happens later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And people just need to be thinking about that. They need to start early.
I'm with you, Bonnie. They really do. And I guess we're just, a lot of us, afraid to die. I don't know what it is that keeps us from handling those issues later on. And then there are the whole series of issues about how we take care of people later in life in this country. I could do a whole series on that. There's no doubt about that. We just, we need some work in the area, I think.
Right. And it's also not just the elderly. People need to be thinking that when, you know, their kids go off to college, they need to have documents that allow them to make health care decisions for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. Life's uncertain.
Yeah.
And people just don't plan. They don't think about that.
Right.
They don't understand when they don't plan the position it leaves everybody else in.
Mm-hmm.
Not only it's the healthcare provider, the family,
mm-hmm.
everybody.
Mm-hmm. Where would you go for guests on this? I can think of a lot of places. There are so many different angles to carry on with.
Right. As far as guests, I'd either look for someone who does long-term care social work.
Yeah.
Maybe a hospital type, you know, administrator, nursing home, you know, long-term care,
mm-hmm.
assisted living, one of those kinds of. Individuals who is well-versed and deals with that on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. I've often told the story on the air that years and years ago, and we never followed through on this, a dear friend of mine when I was living in North Carolina said, you know, we got to buy some land in Tennessee because we thought it would be a good place to go, and then we'll just all take care of each other when we're old. And I thought, you're right, we should do that, but we never did it.
Well, you know, I think people need to take care of each other when they get older. But the fact that people can't even plan in the little ways makes me wonder whether even if you had those, let's all take care of her,
mm-hmm.
you bought the land in Tennessee, whether or not you really would have followed through with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People need to be more proactive with that.
Yeah. Thanks, Bonnie.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
have
you.
A good day.
Thanks.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Thanks.
Yeah, there are a whole host of issues we could do on that. I'm a little too close to it right now, but... it's on the agenda. 800-486-8655 is our number. We have an open line going on right now for the month of November, and Chris from Middleton is next. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
All right, Chris, how are you?
Fine.
Good.
I just read a wonderful book called Animal, Vegetable, Mineral.
Oh, yeah.
Animal, Vegetable, Miracle by Barbara Kingsolver.
Mm-hmm.
I think she would probably be an excellent guest for you to talk about that book, and it's a recollection of a year in the life of her family when they moved from Tucson to Virginia and began to raise their own food or buy locally. And interspersed within the book are a number of factual pieces about the food industry in the U.S., and I believe that while many people couldn't go as far as she and her family did, all people making slight efforts would have just a tremendous impact on the use of oil in this country,
mm-hmm.
and the quality of food and the health of the people.
You know, she was with us on that book right when it came out, and it was a wonderful interview. But there's no reason why we couldn't have her on again to talk about it. It's been a few months, so.
Okay, well, that would be wonderful.
All right, Chris, thanks so much for the suggestion. Uh-huh, it is. It's a fascinating book, and she's just a real down-to-earth, kind person. I like her. Laura from New Berlin. Hi, Laura.
Hi. If possible, I thought it'd be very interesting to interview the author of the October 21 New York Times Magazine cover story, which is all about looming dire water shortages.
Oh, yeah. Good, good.
In the southwest U.S.
Okay. Yeah, we were going to do that issue. We're just not there yet. Water shortages. Okay. Water shortages.
Great.
And I'm sure there are a number of experts who can look beyond the southwest as well, look at the southeast and look at the Great Lakes and look at the world, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're on it, Laura.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Frank from Madison. Hi.
Well, hi. Thank you very much. I've just started reading a book got from the library. It's just out this year by Gary Wills, Head and Heart, subtitled American Christianities. And it's essentially a kind of history of America told as the tension between two poles, one of which is the Enlightenment and the other evangelicalism.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off with, you know, of course, what the Enlightenment replaced the Puritans. Holy cow, what a bunch of fire eaters those people were. And I've just finished a bit about the Great Awakening and Jonathan Edwards, and it's amazing. It's kind of pulling together, I think, almost the intellectual history of America. And so anyway, it's 600 pages, a huge number of endnotes, and just a lot of reference to, and a lot of reference to all the previous work that has been done in this field. So so in effect, if you really want to get into it, this book would, I think, give you a great guide to all the real heavy hitters in the way of historians and such.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
you sold me, Frank.
Wow, yeah, I don't know if you can get, you know, I'm
right, yeah,
just down there at Northwestern, so
okay.
Hell, maybe you can get him on up here, but whatever.
All right, Frank.
Good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. let's go next to Sarah from La Crosse. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I wanted to call in, and I don't know if you know about this. I just found out about it the other day, about the Codex Alimentarius. They're guidelines for the food we eat and nutrients. They're supposed to be, the World Trade Organization, I believe, is supposed to be compliant with them by the end of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a 40-minute video on it on the Internet on Sunday, and it's the woman who is in charge of healthfreedomusa.org, I believe. My Internet's down, so I couldn't check my facts.
Oh.
Her first name is Rima. She is a doctor, a professor. The video is on the barefootmoms.com website that I'm sure of. But it's just fascinating to hear about. It's kind of being passed through Congress without any argument, really. There's some questionable things going on in there. It's not really in the interest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's more for the trade companies to make more money, basically, by mandating the food and nutrients that go into our body. And I think it would really be worth having a show about to see it, people aware of it. And the professor that has this website, is she has a petition for people to kind of, they've written an alternative to the Codex, and so she's trying to get that looked at instead of the things that are in the Codex, which are bad for us.
All right, so I go to the Barefoot Moms website.
Yeah, they have a video posted about it, and okay. I wish I had the real website. My Internet is down right now.
Okay, when you do, I'll give you Rhonda's and my website, or my email. Websites, email, all of it, so that you can send it to us, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call. In case you can't get through on the phone lines, or you don't, you're nowhere near a phone right now, our websites are, our email, why am I saying website? Emails are pretty easy to remember, so you can dash us a little email with a suggestion. Or if it pops into your mind a couple days from now and we don't have our open line, we always welcome your suggestions. Rhonda's is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org, and mine is Dunn-K at WPR.org. Dunn-K at WPR.org. Okay. Oh, we got to pause for a moment. We're doing an open line for the month of November, and welcoming your phone calls at 800. One line is open, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up the second hour of our program today, we should have some fun. And we're going to talk with the author of Children at Play in American History. Our guest says that children have always cultivated their own underground of unstructured and self-structured play, which they didn't talk about with adults. And the book attempts to peek into that underground. So that's coming up. And we'll get into interesting conversations about what happened when television came on the scene and whether or not electronic games are as good a form of play as going out and the field near your house and and picking up stuff that's on the ground and making up your own games. It'll be a good conversation. I'm pretty sure of that. All right, let's go back to phone calls. Tony is next from Franklin. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Kathleen. Walmart seems to be getting a lot of bashing, and not the other retail stores. I'd like to see a comparison of things from Walmart and including places like Kmart, Target, Costco, and Kohl's, things like employee wages, health insurance, those who are in Badger Care, those who have a union shop.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be an interesting show, wouldn't it?
Sure.
And the effect they've had on American shoppers and smaller businesses, et cetera, and are some of those better to their employees than others? And
yes, right.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea, Tony.
Okay, thank you.
All right, yeah, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah.
Bye. Joan from Eau Claire, hi.
Hi. In early November, there was a violent offender that was released from Mendota Mental Health Facility and placed into a residential Eau Claire neighborhood. I guess I'd be interested in a program where these social issues are addressed, possibly regarding similar placements. And I appreciate the opportunity to contribute to this program. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joan, for the call. Tom from Shawano. Hi.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Tom.
Just a very brief history. My wife and I remember a young reporter working for a station on Capitol Avenue, up in the airplane telling about traffic jams and a Sunday morning program, religious music, and on St. Patrick's Day, full of St. Patrick's songs. I don't know if you know her.
I know her. That was a lifetime ago, Tom,
okay.
Wasn't it?
Anyway, what I am calling about is a mental illness called obsessive compulsive personality disorder. Now, it has to be contrasted with what people normally think of obsessive compulsive disorder, namely you washing your hands or you're constantly checking that the gas is off. This is a thing that takes over your whole life, and it is generally considered, in essence, a good mental illness because people who have it are generally professionals, intellectuals, and they do perfect jobs, and people want that, say, in a lawyer or a doctor. It was only sort of discovered in DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that came out and separated it, in about 1989. Basically, it's a person who absolutely can never finish a project because it can never be perfect enough for them. Hmm. I have a book to recommend which started out. It's called Too Perfect, When Being in Control Gets Out of Control.
Mm-hmm.
It was written by Alan A-N-E Mallinger. That's Mallinger, M-D.
Mm-hmm.
He's an associate clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of California. Diego Medical School,
okay.
And he was in private practice in San Diego. Now, the book is 92.
Mm.
There have been, obviously, some that very seldom, I've never heard a program on this particular mental illness where it's a personality disorder and you just can't shut it off, so you're constantly ruminating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's getting some more treatment, especially as Prozac and some of the chemicals came out that seem to work on it. But that would be a starting point, obsessive compulsive personality disorder.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Okay,
sounds
fine.
Sounds interesting. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Bye. Bob is next from Stevens Point. Hi, Bob.
I made this suggestion some time ago, and Joy accidentally stumbled into it a couple of weeks ago, and that's the Iowa caucus.
Mm-hmm.
How does it work? Do people actually go to a gymnasium and line up in corners? Do they vote show of hands? And how do the delegates come out? With all these candidates, is it winner take all? How many votes do you get? It is prorated. And, you know, it might be interesting to do the New Hampshire, too, because
yeah.
I'd like to know how their delegates are.
Well, you know, we're trying to get to the, we had the last time We talk a lot of politics, as you know, but we had an offer from one of our listeners in Iowa to come there to Dubuque, actually, and do our show from there. And we're trying to do that, actually. We're trying to get to Dubuque. Not that we wouldn't do a show before that, but there's a difference in the way Republicans and Democrats select their candidates. And I just think it'd be great fun to be in Iowa. So we're trying to get there, Bob. Don't you think it would be good for us to be there?
Yes, I do think it'd be good for you to be there. But I just think the whole – you could almost – Joyce, when she had that guest on, the whole subject of primaries came up.
Yeah.
For instance, the party says we're not going to count Michigan or you can't go
right,
there.
Right, right.
And but I think with the Iowa caucus, I'd like to know how that works exactly. If a third party started up, would they have to have their caucus on the same day? And I think you got enough callers from Iowa that could answer that.
I know we do. The eastern part of Iowa, they're listening to us. I was a good place. Well, all right. I like this idea, and I'd really like to do that from Iowa. So we'll try to get the works. We'll try to get it in motion.
Okay.
All right, Bob. Thanks so much. And actually, just to draw your attention, The New Yorker has an interesting piece just came this week. You can probably get it online, which looks a little bit more. It's mostly about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, but it also looks at the Iowa caucuses in some detail. So it gives you an understanding of – I can't remember the name of the article, but it's in this week's issue. Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Maddie from Wapaka. Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to suggest a book called Healing the New Childhood Epidemics, Autism, ADHD, Asthma, and Allergies by Dr. Kenneth Bock, B-O-C-K. And I'd also, along with that, wish that you would have a program about the parents that were suing the federal government about the mercury shots.
Yeah, I think Joy just did a show on that recently, so.
Oh, she did?
Yes, she did.
I must have missed that.
Yeah.
I wish I would have. No, well, that would be an idea. How can we know in advance what shows you're going to have on?
Well, I think that you can go to the web.
I don't have a computer.
Oh.
Okay.
I think you could go to a friend's web.
Okay, okay.
Or library or something. Uh-huh. That's probably the best way to...
Uh-huh.
Or listen to us. We do promotions of what's going on tomorrow during the course of the day.
Listen both days.
Well, you just have to listen all day long, you know, Maddie?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. If you don't have a computer, maybe somebody can help me along with this. How can you know exactly what's going on each hour? I'm not sure if you don't have a computer how you can do that. Okay. Let us go to Don. Hi, Don.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm 64, and because I'm 64, my mail is full of all kinds of offers for Medicaid and Medicare supplements.
Mm-hmm.
They are parachuting into my backyard. I would love to have someone who is unbiased.
Mm-hmm.
Give tips on what to look for, the language to use, the keywords that would help one choose a coverage.
All right, you know, and there's another end of life kind of care or retirement issue that people need to know about. Man, oh man, there are so many rules and regulations, and we need information.
Well, somehow the word is out to the world that the little fat guy is 64 and about to turn 65.
Yeah, but that's so young, right?
I don't know, but I want to protect myself.
Right.
But I want to make the right choices.
Okay. Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got to do some of these older adult issues. Sit down, Bill. Tell me what, because I can't, no, you know what, Bill S. is bringing me information about, listener, for those of you who don't have computers, oh, program listing on your voicemail. Hey, what a deal. Are we on top of it or not? 800-442-7108. If you want to know what's coming up on shows, this is a great service. 800-442-7108. Thanks, Bill. So that solved your problem. Now you know what's coming up on the air. Somebody will leave you a message. They'll leave you a message. What kind of personal service is that? That's good. Don, your suggestions were good. Thank you very much for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. If you can't get through today, just a reminder, you can send us emails. Rhonda Fanning, our producer, is F-A-N-N-I-N-G at WPR.org. Mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. Joe is next from Oshkosh. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Joe.
I know that WPR has had Andrew Weil on probably a number of times.
Yeah.
And most people associate him with, wellness and nutrition and so forth. That's what he's become famous for the last few years. But back in 1983, I believe it was, it may have been 81, he wrote a really excellent book called From Chocolate to Morphine, Everything You Want to Know About Mind-Altering Drugs, which is a really... probably the best book on drug use and drug information for adolescents and adults, for that matter. And so I'd like to see him come on sometime and talk about that subject because I've never heard him talk on it, but the book is just an incredible resource, actually. It's also controversial because what it does is it provides factual information and actually information on how to decrease harms related to drug use rather than the stock information of, you shouldn't take this to begin with. And if you do, don't even think about taking any more of it, blah, blah, blah.
So, right.
So
we've had him on talking about his last aging book, but certainly not on this subject.
Right,
so.
Right.
Okay.
So thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
We go to Pat next from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. Your previous caller mentioned a show she had seen about the Codex Alimentarius, and the resident expert on that particular subject is situated right here at Wisconsin, and he represents the United States on international committees. That is Dr. Rusty Bishop at the University of Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research. And he would make a marvelous guest, an interesting man, and has all sorts of information for you.
His name again, please, Doctor?
Dr. Rusty Bishop at the Center for Dairy Research at the University of Wisconsin.
Okay. That's why I love these open lines. You get all this information you never knew about.
Ah, well, you'll enjoy him. He's pretty neat.
Okay. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Jeff is next from Racine. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. Two recent news reports. One was the opening of the new transit center in Milwaukee. And then, on the flip side, we have that the Wisconsin government voted down the commuter train from Kenosha to Milwaukee. So it's kind of confuses me. And I guess I'd like to hear from probably the best source of information on this would be the director from Transit Now. I think it's Carrie Thomas or also, Rosemary Potter. Both of those individuals are really in tune with what's going on with rail transport in Southeast Wisconsin.
Okay. Good. I haven't seen that new center yet. I've only seen pictures of it, the new Amtrak station. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet, no. I'm particularly interested in getting the Metra, up from Kenosha, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, any type of rail between Milwaukee and Madison would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure would. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Robert is next. Hi, Robert.
Hello.
Hi.
I have the request for a program on the folk school movement in the United States. And this folk schools, there's the goals to have intergenerational learning and also a non-competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And most classes are in traditional skills and craft, but there's also, for instance, the Highlander Folk School deals with social justice issues.
Sure, I've been there many years ago, yeah.
Yeah, Rose Parks. And
Miles Horton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're almost out of time. Do you have a website or something?
We have a new school in Vernon County developing called the Driftless Folk School.
Okay.
And that's driftlessfolkschool.org.
Spell it for me.
Driftless.
Driftless, like Driftless.
Yeah, Driftless Region.
Okay.
Yeah. Folkschool.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
We're in the Driftless Region.
All right, send us more if you can, Robert.
I will.
Yeah, thanks so much for your call. And if you didn't get through and would like to send us information, please do that. Rhonda's email address is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at WPR.org. And once again, if you don't have access to a computer where you can find out what we're talking about each day, it's pretty well put together, there is a program listings hotline. And that number is 800-442-7108, 800-442-7108. Thanks to John Treader for handling tons of phone calls that come through on an open line, and thanks for all those tons of phone calls. We had some good suggestions today, which we will definitely follow through on, definitely. Some are overdue. We'll get to it soon. I'm Kathleen Dunn. News is coming up from National Public Radio, and we'll return here on the Ideas Network.